Hi, this is Buzz Bidstrup from the Angels, and I'm calling from Australia. You're listening to The Melting Pod with Annie from Marseille. Take it away.
Well, hello, this is Chris, and I'm talking to Annie in the heartland of France. And believe it or not, I'm listening to Melting Pod. And I think all of you should do that as well, because it's a fabulous show.
Hello.
Hello, Franck?
Hello.
It's Annie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
What's going on?
It's a little late in the night in France, but you are on the way to play your concert tonight.
Yeah, we're going to split out of here in a little bit and head out to the Big Rock Show.
Yes.
Very excited.
And you play only two concerts?
Yeah, we're doing two concerts. One is tonight at a club called The Brig in Huntington Beach. It's like the Orange County area. And tomorrow night in Hollywood at the Knitting Factory, both shows feature us along with Electric Frankenstein and the Ads and a local group called the Lady Killers. And it's going to be real fun.
Yes, I can imagine. But did you remember Marseille, the concert in Marseille, or it's a long time?
Oh, yeah, no, I remember Marseille. I remember we played this little club. Yeah, I remember getting very dirty at that club because I was rolling around on the floor. It was really dirty, and that's good. That's good.
I want to open my show with No More of Street 12 King Shita because I love that song.
Excellent. We're playing that tonight. That's on the set list tonight. Well, like I say, we're going to make a live record out of this, so you'll be hearing some more stuff from us real soon.
Okay, you can say for Annie from Marseille tonight.
Cool. Well, yeah, there you go. I will do it.
Okay, I thank you, Frank. I want to wish you a lot of fun with your both concert.
Good morning, guten Tag, bonjour. Welcome to Melting Pod, Sound and Colors from the Planet Marseille. Today, October 6th, we have a special guest who lives in Los Angeles, Frank Meyer, but he played in Marseille in 2002 with his band Street Walking Cheetahs, and unfortunately, after his European tour, they broke up the band, and they broke my heart. I asked Manny, their tour manager, a lot of time when the Street Walking Cheetahs will come again back to Europe. It was hopeless during 3 years, but a few weeks ago, I checked the Street Walking Cheetahs website and I read they are giving two concerts in California for the band's 10th year anniversary. And I had the idea to do an interview with Frank Meyer to ask directly the news of the band. It was funny because in Marseille in 2002, I couldn't speak one word in English, and I stayed 1 hour long in the same bar than the band, and I couldn't exchange one word. And I think today I did enough progress in English to show my enthusiasm for their music. I did this podcast for that. It's for you, Street Walking Cheetahs.
Hello.
Hello, Frank.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, fine. But can I call you on the other telephone?
Yes, you can, but here's the deal. I'm still on my way to work, so I'm going to give you my work number, and call me there in like maybe 20 minutes because I'm still sitting in traffic. I was hoping I could do it from home this morning, but I have to get to work earlier than I thought. So let me give you another phone number, okay?
Okay.
It's 310.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you on hold for a second because I'm going to transfer myself to a different room where it's even quieter. So just hold on for 1 second, okay?
I have an echo.
Oh, you do?
I have a delay.
Oh, okay. Huh, weird.
It's weird because I don't have that with your cell phone.
Huh, do you want to call back on this line directly? Hello?
Hello, Frank?
Yes?
It's okay.
It's okay for me. Can you hear me?
Yes, I have no delay more. I don't know why. I try another connection and, well, it's capricious.
Are you able to record?
Yes, I am able to record. It's okay now.
Okay, good.
Okay, Frank.
Well, hello.
Don't shout in the microphone. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Are you working now in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I live in Los Angeles. I actually just moved down to Long Beach, which is about 20 minutes south of Los Angeles, but I still work in Los Angeles and play music in Los Angeles.
Yes, in Street Walking Cheetah, always?
Yeah, I play in the Street Walking Cheetahs, and I have another band called Sweet Justice, and lately I've been producing a lot of other artists, local bands and some national groups, and I also play with Cheetah Chrome from the Dead Boys and a few other groups here and there. I'm producing the new record by Cherie Curry, the singer from the Runaways, so I'm going to play on her record as well and write some songs. And always working with different artists, but the Street Walking Cheetahs are definitely the group most people know me from.
Yes, and I am very impatient to ask the question, what did happen during the two last concerts with the band?
Yeah, we played a couple weekends ago. We did our reunion shows. They were the first shows that we had played at all since 2002, but they were the first shows that we'd done with our original bass player, Dino Everett, since 2000. So it's like 5 years since we'd played together with the original lineup. And the shows went great. We did a Friday night at a club in Huntington Beach, which is sort of south of Los Angeles. And then we played on a Saturday night at a club in Los Angeles called The Knitting Factory in Hollywood. And that show went great. Both shows went great, but the Hollywood show was really, really special for us. You know, we're a Los Angeles band, so it was great to play in our hometown. We had a lot of friends out. A lot of fans flew out from different parts of the world for the show. And, you know, this one couple that had gotten married to the Streetwalking Cheetahs, like they had us as the music when they got married, and he proposed to her at one of our concerts. They flew in for the show, so it was really special. And we recorded it for a live album and a live DVD that will come out next year.
Yes, and what is the decision? Did you speak with the band about the future of the band?
We spoke a little bit. I think that the future is that we will do more shows. I just think they will be sort of few and far between, and when we do concerts, we'll sort of do shows when they seem special to us or when there's a really good offer to go and do some great, you know, lineup or play with a band that we really enjoy playing with. I just don't think we're going to tour as hard as we used to. In the old days, we would do, you know, 150, 200 dates a year and be on the road for months and months and months. And I think those days are long gone. But I think we'll play some more concerts, especially now that it looks like we'll have a live album and DVD out next year. It would seem like that would be a good excuse to get together and play some more shows. We look to the band The Dictators as a big influence in a lot of ways, but they never really broke up. They just sort of took a hiatus, and then they came back, you know, at some point and seemed to just play when they want to play and record when they want to play, you know, record when they have something to record. And I think we sort of look to that as a way we'd like to conduct the future of our band. When we have a reason to play, we will play. If we have songs we want to get out of us, we'll make a record. But I don't think we're going to just blindly, constantly tour like we used to. So I think we'll get back there at some point. You know, like I think we'd love to keep playing, and we really had a great time playing these reunion shows. So I think there'll be more on the horizon. It's just kind of the right thing. I think what would be likely for Europe would be that we'll eventually say yes to some of the festival offers that we've gotten and use that as an excuse to go over, play a few festivals, do some club shows in between, and, you know, maybe do a week or two in Europe at some point. I would think that that would be likely for next year when there's the live record out.
Well, God is coming.
Can you imagine a little club with an audience with only a few people and a band like that who opened his show with that song? The whole audience was fascinated. It was like a wall of sound, a shower of sounds. Personally, I was 3-4 meters far away from the stage and I can't move. Suddenly, Streetwalking Cheetahs singer and guitarist Frank Meyer jumped from the stage and came directly to me and began to play his solo guitar under my nose, almost stick to me. A few minutes later, he jumped a second time from the stage directly to me and fell down on his knee and began a second solo guitar and played it like a serenade of the 21st century. A good memory, Frank. I saw on the picture on the last concert when you are playing guitar when you are on the knees on the floor.
Yeah.
I want to know how did this idea come? Is a joke? Is a provocation? How had you this idea the first time?
Well, when the group first started back in 1995, Dino and Art and I were playing these early shows with our early drummer, and before we even had a record deal, we would play these clubs in Los Angeles. And Los Angeles crowds are very different from Europe. In Europe, you know, people are very enthusiastic and they really show their appreciation. In Los Angeles, they're very jaded and they see so many bands and so many groups and so many celebrities that they just don't care. So we would go out there and play our hearts out, and no one would move a muscle, or no one would say anything, or no one would really get into it. So Dino, actually, I think, one that started just jumping off the stage, going into the crowd, grabbing people by the throat and dragging them over to the stage, and that became like a thing with Dino and I, as we would challenge each other, and it was sort of like this challenge to see who could get the crowd riled up first, you know. So we'd play 2 or 3 songs, and if the crowd wasn't into it, we'd grab the mic stands and jump into the crowd and take the show to them. And we'd go 10, 20 feet out, and all of a sudden, you know, we'd be right in their faces, and we'd kind of grab them and force them to come up, and people would get into it. And they really seemed to react off that real physical approach of like, hey, if you're not going to get into the show's going to come get you. And that became sort of our thing. And along the way, we picked up, you know, these other little traditions, like people would spit beer in our face and we'd spit it back. And we would let, you know, we'd pass our instruments around and let the audience sort of take charge and play some guitar and do some wild stuff. And then, people would start coming onto the stage and we would go out to the crowd. And our shows just became this very, I hate to use the word interactive, but kind of an interactive experience where, like, if you come to Cheetahs, you might end up on stage, you could be playing lead guitar, you might be singing, you might get a beer poured on you, you might get a pour of beer on the lead singer, some stuff might break, some fights might break out, but no one's going to get hurt, you know, it's all fun, but we put on a very intense, high-energy physical show, and that was always what the band was about from our early gigs, and it really just started because people in L.A. don't move, so we had to move for them.
I remember in Marseille it was a surprise because it's like a troubadour in the Middle Age in France, the man on the knee in front of the girl.
Yeah, you know, we love getting in people's faces. I think one of the fun things about music is that you can sort of, you know, live out your fantasies a little bit. And in real life, you know, when you're working at your job or you're on the streets and you're walking around, you know, you don't just jump on top of a car or jump on someone's desk and start screaming and acting like a maniac. But when you're playing in a rock band and you're putting on a show, you can do that. And if you're in the audience and you're watching a show, you can do that. You know, you can play air guitar and you can jump around and go crazy and take your clothes off and dance. And as long as nobody gets hurt, you can have a really great time and cut loose a little bit. And I think our shows just sort of always tapped into that raw emotion of just being able to go crazy.
I want to play some song in my podcast. I want to ask you, you give me the agreement to play that song of Streetwalking Cheetahs of my podcast?
Oh, yeah, you can play whatever you want.
And there is no problem with your record company?
No problem.
No?
We have a really good relationship with our label, and they're doing this live record, and so I'm sure it's fine. I'll just let them know. As long as I let them know about stuff, they're fine with it.
Okay, and I want to introduce my show with No More, and I have a question about the lyrics.
Sure.
Because you say, I'm waiting for the death of my generation.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the idea? What is the inspiration of such lyrics?
Well, Art Jackson, the guitar player, wrote those, wrote that song and wrote those lyrics, so he'd be the one to ask. But since I have sang it thousands of times, I think I know what he's talking about. You know, I think that song actually is very autobiographical about Art. Having known Art for years, there's a lot of lines in there that actually are very personal. I think what he meant with that particular line was sort of that he was just sick of the establishment and sick of the status quo, and if my generation, the song and the sentiment represented the old guard and the old school, then he's waiting for the death of my generation. He's waiting for the old guard to be killed off or stepped down so that the new generation can take over. That's sort of a, you know, a literal translation of it. But I think basically that song is just about being sick of the status quo and feeling sort of rotten inside from the way things are going, and feeling like the old generation needs to die and the new generation needs to take over and live. So we're waiting for the death of my generation.
Yes. And I want to play Right to Rock and Roll. This is more simply. And the song Know Your Product. But I think...
You Know Your Product is a Saints song, the yes. Australian band The Saints. And that was a song that we had talked about doing for a long time. I think we even, at one point, were going to do it on the record before Generation. But we had talked about doing that song forever, and we wanted to keep the horns in. So we brought the guys from Fishbone and John Wall from the group Clawhammer, and they all played horns on it. And that, to me, is what really makes that song work, is that big horn line, you know? Dun, 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 dun. As soon as you hear that, you just feel like partying.
But you are a Saints fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Because if you...
I'm a big fan of lots of Australian rock. I love Rose Tattoo and the Angels and the Saints. And there's a lot of good Australian rock bands.
Yes, because I did an interview with Chris Bailey in the Saints 2 times already now. 1 time in Marseille and 1 time in July in a little village in France. You can listen to my podcast if you like that.
Oh, yeah. I love Chris Bailey. I interviewed him once, too, for a magazine, and he was really great and very eloquent and had great stories.
Yes, he has great story about his lyrics, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Know Your Product, to me, is another great established anti-establishment song. I mean, that song, to me, is very much against the commercialization of art and, you know, taking things like music and film and artistic arts and turning them into commercial products that you can sell to the masses. So Just Luxion, to me, you know, by the Rolling Stones, is sort of the great... song about the great anti-commercial song, then, you know Your Product to me is like the next one right after Satisfaction. You know, the lyrics are just so great and so scathing, and they really just cut right through all the bullshit.
So it-
hope the True Sense fans can notice the all right at the end. I dedicate that song to Lars Werling from Sweden and Pascal from San Francisco, who love the Sense as much as me. But I heard you do a lot of things. I heard you do interview on magazine too. You write a book. I saw you write a book about the Ramones.
Yeah, I co-wrote a book called On the Road with the Ramones with Monty Melnick, who was their tour manager for the entire duration of the Ramones. He was there for the first gig at CBGB's all the way to the very last gig here in Los Angeles, and he was along for the ride for every step of the way. And Monty and I teamed up and wrote a book about his experiences as the Ramones tour manager. So he not only let me into his archives to get all this great memorabilia and photos and documentation and set lists and stage plots and just all this great Ramones memorabilia, but he gave me access to all of the friends and family and crew members and roadies, managers, accountants, wives, ex-wives. We interviewed everyone for that book, like 45 people. And we took those interviews and all of Monty's experiences and compiled this book that's sort of an oral history of the group, but also sort of a tour diary of the group. We really wanted it to reflect Monty's experience on the road with the group. So that book came out on Sanctuary last year. And I also wrote a book with Dave Mustaine of Megadeth and formerly of Metallica that'll be coming out next year, and that's his debut book. And I'm working on a book with the photographer Neil Zlozauer, who's a famous rock photographer most known for his work with Van Halen. He took all the famous Van Halen pictures from the David Lee Roth era. And I've also been working on a rock and roll philosophy book with David Lee Roth. So I got a lot of stuff coming down the pike over the next year or so.
And it's another coincidence, my last show is called She Looks Like Joey Ramone, because it's a song.
Perfect.
It's a money song with the Buckwheats. Did you know
that? Nice.
You don't know that song?
No.
But I like
the title.
Yes, but you don't have everything on the Ramones on your book.
Yeah, exactly. That's a missing chapter. The Ramones covered tunes.
And what about Sweet Justice? Can you tell me a little about this new band?
Yeah, well, when the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs broke up in 2002, I wanted to keep playing, and I had written a bunch of the songs towards the end of the group. In fact, actually, when we were touring in Europe around the time that I met you, I was starting to write all these songs that were very different from the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs, a little bluesier, a little more country, a little more soul. It just was, I guess, a bit more of a classic rock sound than a punk rock sound. And we made a record that you can get on Relo Mind Records or go to sweetjusticetheband.com. And you can also go to the streetwalkincheetahs.com.
Okay, and I check your website, and I saw you play a concert with Sweet Justice in Hollywood with Porn Star. And it was a curiosity for me because I heard a lot of times there is concert with Porn Star who dance during the show. It is usual in Los Angeles, such thing?
Concert. Oh, Porn Stars. Oh, yeah. well, the connection there is
yes.
That...
In France,
well, there's a lot of connections, actually. I used to write for a magazine called Pop Smear. It was a New York magazine in the 90s, and it was a rock and roll magazine that did a lot of coverage of the porno industry. And through that, I got a job as the editor of AVN magazine, Adult Video News, which is sort of a trade magazine of the porn world. It sort of reports on the industry side of the porn world. And so through that, I had met a lot of porn stars and had a lot of friends in that industry. Plus, Dino Everett, our original bass player, he had a talk show, a TV talk show called Colin's Sleazy Friends. And Colin's Sleazy Friends was a porno star talk show where him and his buddy would interview porno stars. So he had a lot of porn connections. These are just sort of people that we knew or that he had interviewed. And then most recently, so that's sort of the connection with the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs. When with Sweet Justice, God, it's a long story, but I have a friend of mine who used to play in a band that opened for the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs, and then he went on to be Dee Dee Ramone's guitar player, and he is now a porn star known as Kurt Lockwood. And Kurt asked Sweet Justice to back him up at a club, the Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood, for an all Ramones night called Not the Ramones. And it was all Ramones songs performed by porn stars with me and Bruce backing them up. So we did that one show as just sort of a fun party kind of thing. So basically there's just a lot of porn stars hanging around Streetwalkin' Cheetahs and Sweet Justice. That's what it really comes down to.
Okay, Frank, I have another question about your work as a journalist, because you spoke a lot of interviews. You told me you did an interview with Iggy Pop and with Chris Bailey. And what is this job exactly? Is this beside your work as a musician?
Well, basically, for the last 10 years or so, I've sort of made my living as both a writer and a musician. And so when I was in the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs and I was touring around, I usually had a job at a magazine or at a website where I was, you know, a music editor or a music writer. And so I would just take my computer with me on the road, you know, my laptop computer, and I would do my job while on tour. And I would come home from a tour and, you know, work in the office. And then if I was going on the road, I would just take my laptop and email everything in from the road, you know, when we would pull into hotels and stuff. And then when the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs broke up, I started making my living full-time as a writer. So I was working at a few different magazines. I worked at Variety magazine. I was working at Adult Video News magazine. Finally, I ended up here at the G4 TV network, which is a TV network mainly about video games and the video game culture. So I'm a writer and producer over here. And I actually just sold my first TV show that I wrote and directed and produced. And so that's sort of always been my double life. As I would, you know, at night I was a rocker and rocking out and playing concerts and going on the road, and during the day I would be writing as a journalist. And that's essentially what I still do now. I spend my time either, you know, producing music or performing and writing music or recording, and then I spend my days working here as a writer and writing, you know, writing books on magazine articles. And I've had a great life as a writer in terms of interviewing all of my favorite, you know, rock stars, everyone from Alice Cooper to Iggy Pop and Ian Hunter and Tony Iommi and, you know, just everyone. But, you know, I've had a pretty good life as a rock and roller, too, because the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs, we got to play with Sylvain Sylvain from the New York Dolls and Wayne Kramer from the MC5 and Dennis Tech from Radio Birdman, and, you know, I got to play with Cheetah Chrome and Cherie Curry. And so it's been a nice bonus in this life I lead to be able to team up with a lot of my heroes and collaborate with them or talk to them or perform with them or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Did you see The Hangman?
Oh, yeah, all the time. The Hangman are... God, I've been a fan of the Hangman since I was a kid. I saw them play in Los Angeles back when they were, you know, a local band in the 80s. I saw them in like 88, I think, maybe even 87. And then Brian and I became friends in the mid-90s, around the time the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs formed. He used to come see us all the time, and we would play a lot of shows and toured with the Hangman. And I wrote their bio for their last album, and Brian sang on a Streetwalkin' Cheetahs single that came out in Finland. We did a cover tune of Draw the Line by Aerosmith that Brian sings sort of a duet with me on.
I hope a mix of The Hangman and the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs in France next year.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That
would be nice. I remember a tour we did around 2000 that was the Hangmen, the B-Movie Rats, and the Streetwalking Cheetahs. We were all, you know, riding around together, came, you know, out of L.A., making our way to Texas and back. And what a fun tour that was, because all of us were good friends, you know, so it was just like one big party on the road for like 2 weeks. It was great.
I think I am very happy with this interview, Frank. I don't want to take too much your time at work, but can I ask you an idea for my melting pot?
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ready?
Yes.
Here I go. Hey, this is Frank Meyer from the Streetwalkin' Cheetahs, and you are listening to The Melting Pot, straight out of Marseille, baby. Rock and roll.
Yes.
Is that good, or do you need another one?
No, it's okay. I only hope we can see each other again soon.
Yeah, I hope we'll get out there. Let's definitely stay in touch. I'll make sure to get you copies of the live record and stuff. And you know what? Email me your address, and I will send you some of the more recent Streetwalkin' Cheetahs stuff that's come out, some of the rarities albums and re-releases and all that stuff. Email me your address, and I'll send you a big package of goodies. Cool. Do you have Gainesville, the last album we did, Gainesville? I don't think it ever came out in Europe.
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'll send you that. When you saw us in France, we were playing a lot of new material, and right when we came back from that tour, we recorded a whole new album, like 17 songs, a lot of the songs you heard us doing in concert, and that album came out in the U.S., but it never came out in Europe, so I'll send you a copy for sure.
Yes, and I can play that on my podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Super.
Cool. Well, I'm glad we finally got in touch. Sorry it took so long.
Yes, and thank you, Frank. And we keep in touch. And I hope you listen to Melting Pot now.
I will. I'm going to go listen to the Chris Bailey one right now.
Yes.
Cool. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Come on.
This last song was White Collar Money. I hope you will like the street walking cheetahs like me now. I want to thank Frank Mayer, it's clear, but Manny from Teenagehead Music too, because he gave us since years good and fresh rock and roll directly imported from the United States, like the street walking cheetahs, the Hankmen, American Heartbreak, and a lot of other bands. I have not the name in memory, but it's very important for us in Marseille to hear good rock and roll from the whole planet. We are ready to welcome the Black Halos, a new band in Manny's pocket for the next year. I will give you their interview next time. I want to close this show, which is already 45 minutes long, but Frank Mayer is a real personage, and I hope you had pleasure with this long interview. And I want to thank every people who wrote comments on my website www.meltingpod.com. Your feedback is very precious for me. I hope you will continue to do it. Thank you for Sweden, Ireland, Belgium, France, New York, San Francisco, Melbourne. You are the welcome on Melting Pod, and I hope to have more country in the next time for the whole planet is my goal. I wish you a good day, a good night. Thank you. Bye. Tschüss. Au revoir. À la prochaine fois. And stay connected with Melting Pod.
Hello, this is Manny from Teenagehead Music, and you are listening to Annie's Rock and Roll Show called Melting Pod.